This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
Hey, this is Dave Meltzer with the sit-down version here at SoFi Stadium, the greatest stadium ever created and recreated in its few years of existence. And I'm here with one of my favorite people on earth. His playbook to success is already started and is growing every time I meet with him. So every time he's in town, I have to meet with him. James Maslow, welcome to the playbook.
What's up, my dude? Good to see you.
It's so good to see you. There's certain people that you just get excited to see.
Yeah.
And I tell my wife all the time, I'm blessed to be around so many people to have a choice of who I want to hang out with.
Yep.
And I get to hang out with and be productive with people like you. But I was driving up from Orange County today thinking, you know, I get to see you and I get to learn so much from you. And I can't wait to see what I learned this time. And I think one of the reasons is that I'm so impressed by who you are, not what you've done, but who you are. And I think about, wow, I wish I was where he is when I was his age. But more importantly, how can I suck some of the knowledge out to help my own children get to where you are when they get to your age? So I want to thank you for taking the time to be with me. And I'm going to start with the first question of what I want to learn. I'm learning about being annoying. And what I found is there's two characteristics about annoying that are necessary for growth.
Okay.
And I'm going to start with myself because it's the most difficult thing to be annoying to yourself. And here's the two things. One, being honest with yourself, mm-hmm. but not hard on yourself.
Yeah.
And then two, being repetitive with yourself. Now, obviously, as a parent, that's extremely annoying to be honest with your kids and to be repetitive, tell them the same thing again and again.
Your job, though, right?
But I think it's more important to understand, you know, your own philosophy or perspective on, you know, do you have a intentional practice of being honest with yourself in your own development? And do you waver between being honest and hard on yourself? And then two, how important is being repetitive with yourself?
Well, I'll start with repetitive. Repetitive is one of the most important things. It's one of the most effective strategies. If you want to be good at anything, you have to do it over and over and over again. In fact, I tell myself all the time, if I want to be good or successful at anything, I need to do it every day. For me, recently, it's piano. When I actually hold myself accountable, put on my schedule, and I play even 30 minutes every day, within a week's time, I look back and go, dude, so much better than I was.
Yes.
And then I get frustrated in myself when I let that slide because it hasn't been a priority in my life. I got good enough or like, I can play well enough. And I didn't prioritize it, which really since I moved to Nashville three months ago, I don't know. I have finally have enough room to have a studio set up where my piano's there. I don't have to take it in and out of the case like I did in Miami. And that repetition is the only way to get better. But it's not just in terms of actual like physical skills. It is also the repetition of being honest with yourself. The repetition, so mentally, spiritually, anything, again, that you want to be better at, you have to have that repetition. And that breeds, well, I guess it's discipline that leads to the repetition. And then the repetition makes the discipline feel like just a normal part of your routine. So it breeds good routines and good habits. So now a lot of things that I do every day, like training every day, it doesn't feel like work, because it's just a habit.
It's like breathing.
It's like breathing.
Yeah.
But then to touch on the honesty part, that's a really, really good question.
And the dynamic of being honest with yourself, but not being hard on yourself.
And I started the opposite, man. When I was younger, I was so freaking hard on myself. You know, absolute perfectionist to the point where I wasn't even enjoying. I'd perform, and if I got one note wrong, I lost all the joy in doing something that I started doing because it brought me joy. And over my career, I've had to refine that. I've had to recognize and be honest with myself, like, dude, we're not curing cancer here.
Right.
No, really? I know that my music and movies and TV has made people happy. And I know that's wonderful, but I can't take credit for anything beyond. I've got a really cool job and it's entertaining. And I have found a way back to finding the joy. And part of that is being honest with myself, like, dude, no, you're not perfect, but that's okay. This is how good you are right now. Same with photos. Ever look back at a photo of yourself and go like, I wish I had that angle, or like, damn it. You know, I don't look as good as I thought, but instead of being frustrated, but you know, what I do now is I look at that photo and go, you know what? That's how I looked then. And if I'm not happy
That's
with
nice.
It, then work your ass off. And recently I've seen photos of me like in Muay Thai or in the gym or just running around like stupid yeah. things. I'm shirtless in the backyard and Caitlin, my girlfriend, will take a photo. And I've actually like had moments of like pride, moments of like,
nice.
Yo, shit, you ain't looking too bad.
And, yeah, see, I'm an outcome-based guy. So when I look at myself, I'm like, how the hell did I get this super hot, unbelievable wife? And then I'm like, what does it matter?
Yo, what does it matter?
She's here. Obviously blind. That works for me.
Sure.
I fix the problem easily.
Yeah.
Now, you came out here. You and I have become good friends and co-mentors of each other. And hopefully you get as much out of our relationship that I do.
So kind of you to say. I feel so much more one-sided to me, but sure, sure.
So I always like to ask, because I know you are a curious person and a co-creative person. Was there one question that you were thinking, oh, I'm going to meet with Dave. I want to ask him this or learn about this or leverage this information from him?
I mean, I call you up all the time.
Which
and
I appreciate.
I constantly think about what can I learn from you next. As I'm getting busier in multiple things, you know, we were just chatting before this.
Three houses.
Yeah, like that's a great example. Three houses.
Yeah.
I started, bought my first house when I was 22. Technically went into escrow at 21. My ego was like, I'm going to do it at 21, but I pulled out because they sold me a backyard they didn't technically own.
Nice.
Didn't make sense. And I ended up having a better investment 6 months later when I was 22. But anyways, then I ended up renovating and selling that one. And it was as a rental. And then I flipped one. And then now all of a sudden I have a portfolio where I have a home down to the studs in Coral Gables. It's been a year of permitting. And today got another zoning approved,
nice.
Almost ready to go. I have a house I lived here for years that I'm doing another renovation. I'm almost about to go to market and sell. You want a house in Venice? Let me know. It's beautiful.
Nice.
Give you a great deal. And then I've got a dream home that we're building from the ground up in Nashville. And some of these are investments. Some of these are personal. But what's crazy is that this vertical real estate, I mean, for most people, that alone would be a full-time job.
For sure.
And for me, it's just, it can only be a small part of my day because I have so many other things to do. But what I've found is that finding the teammates to support each of these ventures that I create, I've got a slate of film and TV, I've got my personal acting career and singing career, and then Big Time Rush, there's so much going on. Finding the team to me, I've looked to you and how you cultivate the people to work with you and how you support them. So something I've been wanting to ask you is like, specifically, what's one way that you go out, you know, one way in which you go out of your way to support your teammates? Like something specific beyond just, yeah. hey, giving them a cool job and giving them advice. Is there like something specific that you try and do to support the people that support you?
Well, one, make sure that their expectations are managed of how they get paid.
Okay.
Because people realize this is still activity you get paid for.
And I feel like money can screw up a lot of things if you're not clear about
of it. Of course. And so I want to be clear on, here's your salary for what you've done and what you're doing. And here's some incentives.
Yeah.
Economic incentives. So I'm very clear on, you know, mentorship, you get bonused on asking for help and asking questions, student of the calendar, how well are you utilizing time? These are all things that are listed out clearly. And we go over every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then on this side, the sales side, which is generating revenue, how well do you stimulate interest, transition interest, share a vision, manage and develop a vision, and who is thriving that you deal with? So if you're working with James Maslow, how well is that relationship thriving? I bonus for that. And I give a grade point average on these things that I have. And being honest with yourself, by the way, is the fifth one over here. So you have a GPA and a GPA. And also specific to some people don't have, you know, as much opportunity to stimulate interest, but they have great opportunity to manage and develop or thrive, okay. depending like you're running my coaching business. There's not a lot of stimulating interest. We got a wait list.
Yeah, yeah.
But to manage and develop the vision of my coaching clients is important. So I have found number one rule is make sure that everyone knows how they get paid.
Yeah.
And you have to set up a system that you're paying for things that really mean something
right.
to the culture. The other part is what they value. And I think a lot of people, when they're building a team and cultivating a team, they don't spend the time to know the values. So for example, you're a musician, so you'll appreciate this. I had executive vice president and I said, if you could buy anything in the world, what would you buy? And he had this guitar that I've never heard of. And it was like $12,500 guitar.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like $1 million guitar, you know, it was $12,500 yeah, guitar.
Still a lot for a guitar, but you know.
So when he did something that made me a lot of money, beyond the normal pay.
Yeah, yeah.
I took the time to find that guitar. I know nothing about guitars. And I bought that guitar for him.
That's awesome.
And I gave it to him. And it meant more than if I wrote him a check for $20,000 and yeah. he went and bought the guitar. It was very, very weird because he had received bigger paychecks all the time. But I think it's that idea that he would never buy that guitar, even if I paid him $100,000 bonus in a month. He had a family. He had he would buy a house. He would do whatever.
Sure.
But the fact that I knew what was important to him and then followed through and executed. So, you know, I'm blessed like you to have entertaining opportunities at my job. So they love the Masters. I make sure everybody, or they like the TV shows or they like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's included. And I think that's the second part of what we do. Now, the last thing, just building and scaling, is I have a simple philosophy that everyone should use. Someone should shadow you for a period of time, then work with you, and then you supervise them, and then they're ready to be shadowed by someone else. Easiest way to scale, the same. Now, the one requirement here, this might interest you. Shadowing, people like, what, they can ask you questions when they shadow you? I said, absolutely, but I'm more interested, this is where I accelerate my business, I'm more interested in Serafina, who tells me originally why she gets hired. I never even saw a resume. You know what she told me when I met her? I watch Bob Proctor every day on YouTube. And I said, well, I can't teach this girl any more than that to prepare for this job.
Yeah, yeah.
If she's been studying Bob Proctor, you're hired.
Wow.
But she shadowed me. And then what I asked her is, I want suggestions from you. See, she comes from a different perspective, a different background, different age, different education.
Yes.
And so people miss out on the opportunity. They think, oh, I run this big company. I have this big brand. I'm super successful. They can just learn from me and ask me questions. I'm really not interested. Like, I can answer those like this. What I'm interested is, this, she says to me, hey, did you know there's an app that does that?
She's bringing unique value, right? She's bringing a skill set and experiences that you don't have. I love that, man.
Last question real quick. I got to ask, because, you know, I always talk about overhead and people, and you have a lot of overhead and a lot of people now.
Not as many as you, but it's getting there.
We're good.
It's getting there.
What do you find most challenging emotionally about having to work with people? Is there a certain emotion, a reaction to fear, something that you have a need that is interfering with your leadership capability because you have so many people?
I truly don't like having a lot of people around. I've always been very independent. So I do my best to have my team around when it's necessary. And when it's not, give them their space and keep my own space. When it comes to interactions with the public, for example, I think, you know, you certainly experience this to some degree, having grown to being a profile at this point, being so successful in business that you are now a bit of a celebrity, right?
Right.
But since I was young, it's like, for a long time now, I have been that celebrity where people want to stop, they want to ask for my attention, they want to ask for photos and pictures and autographs and all that. And I value those interactions so, so much, because every time it's a reminder that I have a cool job because of them.
Right.
However, when I travel on my own, like I just did a speaking engagement the other day, which again is a new thing for me. I love it. I get to empower young adults. I get to share some of my knowledge. I get to ask them questions, kind of like Serafina. I get to get different perspectives and suggestions from people that are excited. It's so, so cool. But when I do go do some things on my own and I don't have at least a single teammate to help me get my space, I never want to be the bad guy. I never want to tell people like, yo, I need a minute.
You know? Right.
But I also need to make sure that somebody, or if it's not me, if it's a teammate, which is a little easier sometimes, can help explain, like, hey, everybody needs their space, you know, and everybody, and just limit my energy expenditure, because nobody can be on all day, all the time, nonstop. And I'm pretty good. You know, I prioritize sleep. I don't drink.
Right.
I exercise every day. I'm pretty clear-headed. I'm pretty capable of handling a lot. But the last thing I ever want is to get frustrated like a fan and somebody that just cares.
Right.
So I think, again, it comes back to the beginning of this conversation, which is managing expectations. And with my team, it's like, you know, part of my expectation is that you don't need me to babysit you to do your job. Otherwise, I could just do it for you. So ask questions when you need, but like, dude, come to me with like, hey, I did this. And I'll be like, sick. I never thought to do it that way. I never thought to do this extra thing. Like, do the extra credit. Take the risk to some degree. The calculated risk of like, oh, I think he would like this, or I think this would be helpful. Man, that's what's working on my team now versus some of the old mentality of employees where they kind of just wait for me to give them a task. Dude, I don't have time to micromanage, nor do I want to.
Yeah.
I want to empower you to be on your own. And I finally do have a small but extremely effective team that thinks, works, acts on their own. And then we come together, and if I need to tweak or adjust, we do that. But it's really awesome. It's working well, and I'm slowly finding the people that work with me, and I'm never letting them go.
No, Russ, exactly. No big time rush at that as well.
And God, you're having some nice chat. And then you had to go and just fuck it up, you know?
That's so good. Just remember, questions always come with suggestions. It's something I've learned. So don't just come with me a question. I want you to have thought about it and give me your ideas, your suggestions. Questions come with suggestions. The questions I give James Maslow always come with great advice and great intention. One of the most intentional, kind people I know. I'm looking forward to a long lifetime friendship, and I just can't wait to see what you do next. Thanks for joining me here at SoFi, brother. Hopefully we'll be sitting here for the World Cup, and you'll be my guest as we hang out together.
Great. That'd be fantastic, man. Dude, such a pleasure.
Always. Thank you. Congrats.
Thank you.
Incredible James Maslow here with me, Dave Meltzer, with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.